Amen. Hey, good morning, church. You can be seated. Man, isn't it good just to be able to come together and worship together and open God's Word together? We're about to do that. If you have your Bibles, I just want to encourage you to open them to the book of Mark. We're going to dive right in, church. Right? We're going to be in Mark chapter 6 today. If you need a Bible, we do have some in the back that are our gift to you, so grab one of those if you need it. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I really like hanging out with you, right? And so last week was really good. Anybody like it, the food? Come on, church, let's go, right? Man, it was good, a great time, a great meal after service last week. We schedule those times throughout the year for us to connect and have some good food, and it was top-notch today. And so, Marcella, thanks for what you do to get that going and organized. And Johnny, there you go. You get a clap. There you go. Johnny, same thing for Johnny, man, just preparing that main dish. It was just some good stuff. But and all God's people said, amen. Man, you got to have some good food. I probably had too much, right? Hey, as a church, we are in a sermon series that we're focusing on walking with Jesus and following Jesus. For most of our sermon series, we walk through books of the Bible. We like to walk verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so that we don't miss anything. Before Easter, we were finishing up Acts and just covering every word in Acts and seeing what God had for us there. Also coming up, I'm excited about this for our church, starting in May. We're going to be walking through the Psalms, and we're doing a Summer in the Psalms series, so excited about that. But starting last week and for the next few weeks, we're in a series titled Following Jesus. Throughout his ministry, Jesus calls us, he calls his disciples, he calls others to follow him. And church, honestly, that's really what it means to be a Christian, right? If you want to sum that up, as Christians, we're Christ followers, right? We're followers of Jesus. And last week, looking at Matthew chapter 4, we saw Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry go up to four fishermen. He went up to Peter and Andrew and then James and John, and his invitation to them was just two really important words. Jesus says, follow me. And so from that passage, we saw what it means to follow him. We began by seeing who Jesus is, and just some of that, because we looked at a lot, but he is the Savior, church, right? He is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He is both fully man and fully God. He is the one who came for all, and he is the one, as we just read in Philippians, he's the one who all will bow down to one day, church. And so after seeing who Jesus is, we looked at what it means to be with him and to follow him, right? To follow Jesus starts with being with him. We live with abandonment for him. We live for him. We depend on him. And following him is to be a part of his mission. If you couldn't be here last week, I love that we have those available on our website and on YouTube, so you can check out anything that you missed on that. But each week, we're going to continue to build on what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday life and then also for our church family. This morning, we're going to be in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. You may be familiar with this passage. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the New Testament, you have what we call the Gospels, right? It's the life and ministry of Jesus. We see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We see his teachings, his examples, and his miracles. And today, we're going to look at one of the moments in Jesus' life that's recorded in all four Gospels, right? This is the moment where Jesus feeds. It's usually titled the Feeding of 5,000. But we need to know it's the feeding of 5,000 men, and so they didn't count the ladies and the children in that number. So this is really about 20,000 people that Jesus is feeding. And it's a passage that also shows us who Jesus is, what he does, and it shows us what it looks like for them and for us to follow Jesus. And so remember last week we saw that part of following him is to be with him, right? It's to depend on him and to go with him and be a part of what he's doing. And we're going to see more of that today. And our aim is for us to see some truths today, for us to know as we follow Jesus and grow in our walk with him. So church, to honor God in the reading of his word, you guys stand and you guys follow along as I read Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Here's what God's word says. It says, the apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he, Jesus, answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, to Jesus, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, "We have five loaves and two fish." And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass, and they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them, before the people. And he divided up the two fish among them all. They all ate and were all satisfied. And they picked up the 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Let's pray. Father, many of us know this story. And we see this amazing miracle that you do, God. We thank you that you are the God that does miracles. And we pray, Lord, today that as we look at this passage and we walk through it, God, that we would see you at work. And we would see how your disciples here, how they follow you and why they follow you. And so, God, as we continue to build on this idea of what it looks like to follow Jesus, we pray, Lord, that we would be attentive, that we would hear. God, that we would have humility in our heart, ready to listen, whatever it is that you're teaching us today. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that you're glorified with the words that come out of my mouth. And we pray, Lord, you'd be glorified with how we listen and respond to you today. And so, God, we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. As we think about what it means to follow Jesus in our lives and in our church, our goal today, as we look at this text, is to see four truths, four main truths to know and live out as we follow Jesus. And so the first one, for that one, let's look at verse 30. It says this, "The apostles gathered together," notice it says, "with Jesus, and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while,' for there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Verse 32, "They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves." So it's important to know a little bit of context, right? When you read the Bible, it's important to know what's going on, what the context is. So leading up to this moment, Jesus had sent out his disciples. He sent them out on a missionary journey. They're sent out to call people to repent and to turn to God, right? To follow Jesus. And so these 12 men had been with Jesus. Think about this. Before Jesus sent them out, they had been with Jesus. They have watched Jesus. They listened to him. They learned from him. They followed him day after day. They're with Jesus. But it says all the way back in verse 7 that Jesus sent them out on this missionary journey. But now that they're done, right, they're done with this journey, they finished, they're done with their trip, and they come back in verse 30, and we see that they're all coming back to Jesus. And it says they gathered together with Jesus. So what are they doing? They're spending time with him, and they're talking with him, and they're telling him about their trip and telling him all that they did. And Jesus says to them something really important. He says, "Let's go to a secluded place for a while," right, and rest. These words remind me of Matthew 11:28, where Jesus calls people to come to him. You had so many people that were working hard, right, to be religious and to do the right things. And he said to them, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It just reminds me of that. And so the disciples, they get in the boat, they trust Jesus, they're headed to a secluded place where it's just going to be them and Jesus. Guys, I think it's really important for us to see this. There's a lot Jesus could be doing in this moment, right? There are so many people who would like for Jesus to do things for them. And for the disciples, there's so much that they could be doing for Jesus, right? But we need to see what Jesus is doing and saying here. He's showing them first to his 12. He's showing them, "Hey, I'm available to you." Right? He wants them to be with him, to spend time with him. Why? Because he loves them. He knows what's best for them. There's an important truth here, church, and it's that Jesus, please hear this, Jesus is never too busy for you. If you have this idea that Jesus or that God or right that they're sitting up there, long white beard, just ready to strike you down when you mess up. No, God is personal, church, right? He's never too busy for you. But Jesus is also telling them, he's saying, guys, it's really good to serve and to teach and to do ministry and to give and to be on mission. It's good to do all those things. As Christians, God calls us to not just serve, but to serve well. But Jesus says it's also really good to take the time to just be with me and to be with others who are following Jesus with you. We talked about this last week, that the first part of following Jesus is to be with him, right? And now we see Jesus calling them to do this here. And so for our first takeaway, as we think about following Jesus, as we follow Jesus, we need to recognize our need to be with Jesus and also to rest, church. To be with Jesus and to rest. In my own life, you guys can probably relate. It just the way that I'm built, it seems like there's always more to do, right? There's always something more I could be doing. Anybody relate with me here? Okay, the rest of you are all lying, right? Like, come on, right? There's always something to do. And so knowing that I needed one-on-one time with Jesus, I need to be in the Word, I needed to be in prayer, and also knowing that I need to have rest for a while, I had to put it on my calendar. Anybody else ever do that? Like, you just got to put it on the calendar. I had to schedule this time for this to happen in my life, right? Jesus is helping them understand, man, you've been out serving and ministering. And so Jesus says, hey, come and be with me and rest for a while. But notice that Jesus says for a while, right? This is an invitation to stop. It's not an invitation to quit. It's an invitation and a reminder that we need to go to our source to rest, and we need the Lord to strengthen us and fill us up, because there's a lot of ministry, church. There's always a lot to do. There's plenty of serving that needs to be done, but we just need to recognize our need to sometimes just rest, but to always be with him, to be intentional about spending more time in his Word and seeking him in prayer. Church, I'm going to step on toes a little bit today. If you look in your calendars, you've got meetings on there. You've got time to go to the gym. Kids' activities are on the calendar. Are you with me, church? Like, we put those things on the calendar. Do we prioritize our most important relationship like we do those things? Right? And so that's what I had to do. I just had to put it in my calendar. Say, hey, I'm not going to schedule anything else during this time. This is me and Jesus' time. And to go with that, it's important to understand that God does call us to go. Part of following Jesus is to be sent out by him to serve and to love and to give and to share the gospel. But it's important to know that we're only able to do those really important things out of the overflow of our time and our relationship with Jesus. So your subnote under number one is this: we do whatever it is, right? You serve, you teach, you parent, you wife or husband, whatever it is, you neighbor, you do out of the overflow of your relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? Right? Here's what this means. When we spend time with Jesus, his life and his Word and his love and his wisdom pours into us. Right? And the result of that is when his life and his Word and his wisdom and his love pours into us, it fills us, and then it begins to overflow and flow out of us. That's what it's like to follow Jesus. That's why we need to spend time with Jesus. And so our service, our giving, our ministry, our mission is the overflow of being with him. Right? And so this is important, church. When we spend time with Jesus, we begin to live our life with Jesus always on our mind and always on our heart. It changes how we live, church. Because we now begin to see things as he sees things. I promise you, if you're not spending time with Jesus, you can't see things as he sees them. Right? We begin to do things for his glory and not for our glory. We begin to live our life on mission for him and with him. And so, number one, as we follow Jesus, we spend time with him and we rest with him. And then number two, we're going to look to verse 33. It says this: the people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together from on foot from all the cities. So all of the people groups that are represented, they're seeing him and they're just running. People are saying, hey, Jesus is here. Let's go there and get ahead of him. Verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. It's important to understand what it means when it says that Jesus saw the people. This is a deeper word than just a glance at someone, Right? When Jesus says that he saw them, when the Bible says that Jesus saw people, it's not that he just sees them. It means to look at someone with the intent to know them and understand them. Now, Jesus has eyes that can see straight to the heart. Amen? Like, we got to get to know people a little bit, right? We got to get to know them so that we can understand them and learn who they are. But when Jesus saw them, he looks at them in a way to know them and understand them. And when he saw them, Jesus felt compassion for them. Why? Because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus uses that phrase a few different times, and the phrase sheep without a shepherd really comes from the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53, it says this, we all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way. Meaning we've all turned away from following the Lord and our shepherd, right? Jesus, when he truly looked at these people, he saw that they were in need of a shepherd. They were in need of the Lord. They were in need of Jesus. Church, this isn't in my notes. This is free, but I'm just going to throw this out there, church. Amen. Come on. You don't even know what I'm saying. I'm asking you to say amen. Like, say something first, Pastor, okay? When you look at our world today, people are itching for someone to follow. You're following somebody, right? We're being influenced by somebody. Jesus says, it needs to be me. I'm the shepherd you need to follow. And when Jesus saw them, what's it say? He felt compassion for them. I love the word compassion. It's a great word. We talk about it a lot. It's a core value of our churches. And when we see the word used in the gospel, it's connected to Jesus. Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. And it's a word that means to be moved from within, right? It means to have a gut-wrenching love for someone. Right. And so, guys, when you're asking out a girl, it's like, hey, I love you with all my heart. Back then, they say, I love you with all my guts. You know, like that's just what they did. Right. I don't know if they said that. You know what I mean? But that's what it means. Like, it's a gut-wrenching love, church. But compassion is a love that requires action. It's a love from deep within that requires us to do something. And that's what Jesus has. So Jesus sees these people. He has compassion. He has this deep love for them that requires action, church. And so he sees them, and guess how he sees them? He sees them not as Republican or Democrat. He sees them as not black, white, pink, purple, whatever color. He doesn't see them by their income level, right? He sees them as people who were made in his image. He sees them as people that are valuable. He sees them as people that were made to walk with him and talk with him and be with him and people that he loved, church. Right, we say this a lot, but there's nobody that you've seen that Jesus didn't love. Everybody that you see, Jesus loves them, church. He sees a people who, because of their sin, are far from God. They need God. They need a shepherd. And so Jesus, out of compassion, he does something. Verse 34, what did he need to do in that moment? He saw their heart. He knew what they needed. And it says he began to teach them many things. Jesus begins to teach them and tell them what they needed to hear. He's probably telling them about the love of God and how they needed him as their shepherd. He would probably is teaching them about God's word and that the kingdom of God is here and they need to turn to God. But don't miss this. Sometimes we miss out on what's happening behind the scenes. Guess who's seeing all of this? Those who are following Jesus. The disciples. They're seeing Jesus. They're watching Jesus and they're seeing how he looks at these people. They're seeing that Jesus has a compassion for them and they see Jesus take action, right? And so it's not like, hey, I love them and let's move on, right? He stops what he's doing and he's going to teach and be with these people. And that gives us our second truth. As we follow Jesus, church, this is important. We are to reflect the life and compassion of Jesus. We're to reflect the life and compassion of Jesus. Church, our lives should reflect his. When we spend time with Jesus, we learn from him, church. That's where we learn to live and love like him. Excuse me. I'm kind of a mess today. When we spend time in his word, church, and we see and personally experience that he is a compassionate Lord and a Savior, and that he takes action towards those he loves, those who are without a shepherd. When we spend time with God, it changes how we see people, it changes how we respond to people, and we learn that compassion leads to action. Compassion leads to action, church. And so when we see people in need, when we see people far from God, we go to God and say, God, how should I respond to them? What should I do, God? How do I live out compassion towards those people you love? How do you want me to see them, Lord? How do you want me to pray for them, Lord? How do you want me to serve them, Lord? Part of following Jesus is to look, live, and love more and more like him. Right? Following Jesus is not having the Ichthus on the back of your car. Right? Part of following Jesus is not putting Christian on your Facebook page. Part of following Jesus is looking, living, and loving like Jesus. Church, there's something missing if we're not growing and if our lives aren't looking a little bit more like Jesus. There's something missing if we aren't seeing people and loving them like Jesus does. Your life, my life, since we belong to Jesus, because we've been with Jesus, and since we've been loved by Jesus, we are to live and love and look more and more like Jesus. And a great measurement of this is when our compassion for someone leads to action. It could be to serve them, care for them, pray for them. It's always about seeing someone's need for Jesus and telling others about Jesus. And so as we follow Jesus, we spend time with him, we have rest with him, we reflect his life and compassion. And then number three, as we follow Jesus, church, number three is we must rely on Jesus. We're going to camp out here for a bit, but this is just good stuff, church. Look at what happens in verse 34. Jesus began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it's quite late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy something to eat." But he answered them, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." Right? The disciples see the need, right? They know it's late. These people are hungry. So the disciples go to Jesus with their suggestions. We're pretty good at that, aren't we? Jesus, you should do this, right? You should listen to me, right? And so they say, "Let's send them out. Let's call it a night." Right? Jesus, there's some Chick-fil-A. We know that you're chicken. Come on, right? Like, so go get some. It wasn't Sunday. They were open, right? So go get some Chick-fil-A. Go get some pizza. Hit the buffet, right? Let's send them in. But Jesus says, "No, you give them something to eat." Don't miss what's happening here, church. Jesus is calling those who follow him to be a part of what he's doing. He's inviting people to be used by God. Remember, we've already said this, and Jesus had already shown us this last week, that part of following Jesus is part of being his mission, right? Part of being a part of his mission. And so think about it. Think about this, church. Jesus could have provided food however he wanted. He could have just had the fish jump out of the water. They're right by it, church. Right? He's done something like that before. When Peter and others had been out fishing all day, they had no luck. Jesus comes and says to them in Luke 5, "Hey, go out into the water a little bit, throw your nets in." And Jesus filled their nets with so many fish, it was breaking their nets, church. Like, Jesus can do that. Jesus could have just made the bread rain down from heaven. We saw in Exodus 18, God feeds the nation of Israel with food from heaven. He could have just made it happen. But he invites his followers, he invites these disciples to be a part of this miracle. That's really cool, church. Right? Jesus chose to use his followers to be used by God, to be the hands and feet of God, to meet the needs of these people. And so they hear Jesus and they begin to think about how are we going to accomplish this? How are we going to do this? And their response is probably a lot like ours would be. "Jesus, we don't have the ability. Right? We can't make this happen. Do you see how many people are out here? There are thousands of people here. Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread for them?" Here's the thing, church. One denarii is about a day's worth of pay. And so they're asking Jesus, "Should we go out and spend 8 months worth of pay on food to feed these people? How would we even do that? Right? Do we even have enough money? And how would we carry it all back? Jesus, Uber Eats isn't around yet." Right? So it would take all night to accomplish this, Lord. "Jesus, listen, Jesus, we don't have the ability or the capacity to make this happen. But church, as we follow Jesus, we can rely on him. Because guess what? He is not limited by our capacity." Right? Part of following Jesus is understanding that he's not limited by your resources. He's not limited by your abilities. He's not limited by your knowledge or by your expertise or by our wealth, church. But when he invites us and calls us to be a part of what he's doing, he's allowing us to use what he has already given us to glorify him and to be a part of accomplishing that mission. And so they see a need and they come to Jesus. And church, that's a really good thing for us to do. Right? Sometimes we just jump on social media and say, hey, world, what should we do? Right? Or we get a hold of a good friend. But church, we should seek him first. Amen? When we have a need, seek Jesus first. And they're saying, Jesus, on our own, we're not able. And so Jesus asked him, what do you have? What are you able to do? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. When they found out, they said, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. John 6 tells us where they get that from. There's a young boy who had this food with him. It could have been his dinner. Maybe his mom, made it for him. Maybe he picked it up on the market on the way home before stopping to hear Jesus. But he gives it to them, and they take now what they have to Jesus. Jesus, this is what we have to offer. And Jesus is about to show him that with him, church, there's always enough. He's not limited by our capacity, by our resources, or by our abilities. He wants us to bring what we do have to him. And then he shows us that as we follow him, we can rely on him. Why? Because he is always sufficient. He's always sufficient. Jessica and I, we've got this big adoption thing coming up. Like, I don't know if you all know about that, right? But we're going to be, going and adopting a little girl. We're super excited about it. But when we first started this journey, church, we're sitting there thinking like, God, we can't do this. You are going to have to do this. You're going to have to do this. Lord, did you see the price tag on this? Lord, do you see how long we got to be? Lord, do you see all the stuff we got? You have to do this. Like, here's what we have and we're going to give it, God. But he's always sufficient. We just trusted him, church, right? No matter what God is calling you to do, Jesus is always sufficient to provide what we need to complete it, church. So Jesus calls these disciples to do something beyond themselves. Why? So that they would seek him and ask of him and rely on him and depend on him. And so they would know that Jesus is enough and that he's always sufficient, church. On our own, we are not able, but he is more than enough, church. Jesus says, how much do you have? What can you bring to the table? They say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is all I have to offer, Jesus. And now look at verse 39. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven, toward heaven. He blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. Jesus says, tell these thousands of people to sit down in groups of hundreds or fifties and hundreds. Church, this is a large banquet setting. This is something they would have been, this is a seating arrangement these people would have been familiar with. This is how they would often sit at large banquets or festivals. It made distributing food a little bit easier. And so Jesus is preparing them. Don't miss this. Sometimes we miss little things. Jesus is not preparing them for a snack just to get through. He's providing them a meal. I can imagine what we probably would have done. Jesus, I got 5 loaves. I got 2 fish. Jesus says, hey, go sit them down. They sit them down. They come back. And then he's like, hey, we're gonna give them this meal. And I can just imagine them saying, Jesus, I'm not sure you heard me right. I think you need my help, Jesus. Like, you're not quite comprehending what I'm telling you. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus says, go and do this. Prepare them. Get them ready to not just snack, but to feast. And they say, okay, yes. Jesus is asking these disciples, he's asking us, church, don't miss this. Jesus is asking you and me to put our yes on the table because we can fully rely on him. The Jesus who came from heaven to be with us. The Jesus who lived a sinless life. The Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. The Jesus who was buried but rose again is the same Jesus we follow and trust today, church. We can rely on him. Jesus here in Mark chapter 16 is the same Jesus as who is still calling us to follow him and rely on him and know that he is sufficient, church. He's still doing, church, what only he can do. Right? And because of who Jesus is, we need to have our eyes. We need to have our yes on the, don't put your eyes on the table, right? Put your yes on the table. I got a friend of mine that's a pastor, and he lost his eye when he was little, so he's got this glass eye, and every time he goes and preaches in front of young people, he takes it out and like tries to hand it to them. That's what I was just envisioning, so I don't have fake eyes. I can't do that. Church, because of who Jesus is, put your yes on the table. Trust in him. Know that he is able. And that's what's happening here. Jesus says, I just need your yes. I need you to trust me. And guess what? They do.